Will you pray with me? Oh God, in the beginning was the Word with you and was you. So pour out your Word like spring rains upon us, that like our gardens, the wisdom of your Word may take root and grow in each of us. Never let us use our reason against your truth, but by your Word and in this proclamation, may we bloom as witnesses to your love and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just like it was back at Christmas time, in the Easter season, there are at least four versions of events that surround Easter morning. Four Gospels, four stories, four sets of ideas. In Matthew's account, there's an earthquake that precedes the angel of the Lord appearing and rolling back the stone of the tomb. In Mark, the stone's already been rolled away when the women are on their way to the tomb, worried about who's going to roll the stone away from them. In John's version, Mary arrives at the tomb by herself. The stone was already rolled back, and then she runs to tell Peter that someone must have stolen the body of Jesus. And in today's reading out of Luke's gospel, the women arrive. They find that the stone has already been rolled away, and then they're discovered looking inside the tomb where Jesus' body is missing. Well, not missing, he's been raised. Sticking with Luke's story that we read just a few moments ago, the gospel describes two men in dazzling clothes who suddenly appear. It's not clear whether the women were already terrified or whether the appearance of the dazzling men is what terrifies them. But suddenly those dazzling figures are asking them why they haven't followed what Jesus himself seemed to reveal for them already back in Galilee. Why do you look for the living among the dead, they ask. Jesus is not here but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee how the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise. In a way, these dazzling men are kind of saying to the women, you shouldn't be here. They're suggesting really that none of the faithful, including us, by the way, should be at the tomb. We have other instructions. If we really believed, we'd be out looking for Jesus elsewhere, right? Just as he said. And knowing that he'd already be risen. The last place to look would be the tomb. Surely. If the Gospels are right, this shouldn't be too difficult, finding Jesus. While no one appears to be there at just the moment that the stone is rolled away and Jesus leaves in a flash, or however that happens, at least in half of the gospel stories of Jesus' resurrection, mention is made of his clothes being left behind. Half the stories. I figure that means that there's half a chance that there's not only a resurrected Jesus running around Jerusalem, but a naked, resurrected Jesus running around in Jerusalem. And there ought to be surprise shouts from all over town wherever people are seeing him, right? Easy enough to follow. In other of the stories, Jesus' word is explicit. Jesus was going to Galilee and the disciples and other followers and believers were to see him there. So why are the women at the tomb? And why did they bring those spices prepared as if they were going to find a body? And why, when the women report to the other disciples what has happened at the tomb, does Peter then get up and run to the tomb to see? What is there to see? Nothing else other than those clothes that were left behind. Yep, Peter discovers Jesus is not there. He's gone, just as he said he would be. So again, why are we looking in the tomb? Why aren't we out looking for Jesus instead? In the pastor's study downstairs, hidden behind the door, there's a print of a famous painting that's more than 100 years old. Eugene Bernand is best known for this work entitled The Disciples Peter and John Running to the Sepulchre on the Morning of the Resurrection. It was painted in 1898 and it now hangs in a museum in Paris. And if you haven't had a chance to see it, it's behind the door, so you have to be intentional about seeing it. If you haven't seen it, the picture is on the front cover of your bulletin this morning. Bernand's depiction of the worried looks on the disciples' faces suggests to me that the disciples don't know what they're going to find. Maybe they should. Peter's wide eyes suggest amazement that the gospel writers attribute to what he sees, or rather what he doesn't see, because he doesn't see Jesus. At the place where Jesus is laid and they stoop to look in, and where only his clothes are left behind. They're not really depicted as being at the tomb so much as perhaps on the way to the tomb, or maybe on the way back. In Luke's story that we read a few moments ago in verse 12, Peter runs to the tomb. He stoops over to look in. He sees the clothes and then he goes home amazed. But it's also noted that verse 12 doesn't appear in every manuscript of Luke's gospel. In some manuscripts, verse 12 is missing altogether. That would mean that in some of the manuscripts, the story actually ends with verse 11, where the women are telling the apostles what happened to them at the tomb. But then these words seemed to them an idle tale, and the apostles did not believe the women. No comment. So in at least some of the manuscripts, everyone but Peter stays put in the room. And in the other manuscripts, Peter runs to the tomb. And maybe the apostles are just relying together on having been told by Jesus what was going to happen, that he would die and be raised, and there was no need to go running off to the tomb to see. Do you think that could be what they're doing? Just biding their time? Isn't there an urgent message of Easter joy waiting to be found here? That Jesus would be raised. Yet Luke's gospel is telling us the best that any of Jesus' followers could muster was the women who went to the tomb expecting Jesus to still be dead. And despite having been told by Jesus that he would be raised, no one was out looking for him. Even worse, the rest of the disciples don't believe the women when they tell them about this meeting with the dazzling men. Isn't it obvious? Why is no one looking for Jesus, trying to find him alive? That would be the best news ever. Why is no one headed off to Galilee already, where Jesus said he would meet them? Why is no one chasing down the reports of a perhaps naked Jesus running through town? In our world, the photos would already be blowing up on Instagram and Twitter. Just follow the news, y'all. Jesus has escaped and gone. But what are the disciples doing? Sleeping in at the hotel? Jesus has escaped and gone, and what are we doing? I'd say as usual, we're focusing on our own kind of navel gazing. We come to church just like we do every Easter. We look at each other and shout, "He is risen," to each other, just like every Easter. One more time, we say, "He is not here." Exactly. But we're not looking for Jesus either. One of the things that you get to notice if you ever get a chance to visit the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem, one of the places it said Jesus may have been buried, is that you walk into the tomb and your eyes naturally gravitate to the place where Jesus would have been laid. It's identified nicely for you. Everyone has to bend over. It's a small doorway, even for normal people. And immediately you're inside and you're drawn to the small place where the bodies were laid. And you look to see if there's a spot for the folded grave clothes. There's really not much to see there. And you turn around to go back out. And above the door, there is a sign that reads, "He is not here." And immediately you feel foolish, because you've just showed up at the place where you know for certain Jesus isn't. Instantly you feel sort of like Peter. You've run to the tomb, you've looked, he's not there. You came to see, you just found out what you've known all along. He is not here. It's true what they said. If you want to find Jesus, he's not in the tomb. If you want to see Jesus, he's not here. That's a strange statement to make in church. If you want to see Jesus, he's not here. That's not to say that there's not a purpose in our being here. To worship, to share our stories, to gather in faith, to learn of God's promises, to experience God's presence and love and joy in one another. We're going to celebrate the sacrament. In a sense, Jesus is here some. Don't worry. You won't miss out. You can find Jesus here. But mostly, Jesus is out there, on the other side of these walls, in the world, with our neighbors, with us too. The story of Easter is not just about an empty tomb. It's what happens after the tomb is empty. Yes, there are stories in the Gospels about Jesus appearing to the disciples, some even while they are hiding out in that room together behind closed, locked doors. Maybe they stayed in the hotel that day because they were afraid of the Romans. That's part of the story. They're afraid the Romans will come and do to them what they did to Jesus. And as they're waiting and hiding, Jesus does come and appear to them, and they see him. But Easter is really about what happens to believers before they have to go out again. And we do all have to go out. In Luke's gospel, just after the story that we read a few minutes ago, Jesus tells the disciples, in fact, to wait in the city in Jerusalem until they are filled with God's power. There is some waiting. Easter is about what happens to believers before they have to go out. Out from Jerusalem, away from the tomb, outside of these walls. I know it's a scary thought for Presbyterians. We're not always comfortable with things that seem evangelistic. But imagine for a moment that you're going to be charged to leave the sanctuary today, and before you can go to your Easter brunch, imagine having to find a total stranger and tell them the story of Easter in 30 seconds or less. It's your elevator speech, as some people call it. Turn back to that cover of the bulletin for a moment in that picture. Look into those worried faces of Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved. They actually look like Presbyterians who've been sent to find a total stranger to tell the story of Easter in 30 seconds or less before they can go have Easter brunch, right? Right? Worried, somewhat scared, not sure what to do or what's going to happen next. But far more important than that, even. What if you took from here this morning the reminder that Jesus was indeed raised, that he's been loosed in the world, that he is out there somewhere doing good things for people, all kinds of people, and our place is to be with him, or at least to be a part of his ministry, to carry His Spirit, to share with the people along the way while we're looking for Him. If nothing else, our place is to follow along behind Him. So we best figure out where He's moving to and go as quickly as we can, right? Jesus has indeed been raised. He has not somehow retreated from the world. He is out in the world at work. And we're supposed to be following Him. We can't do that if we're stuck in here all the time, waiting. Believe the stories. Trust the rumors that you've heard. He's out there, alive and well and working. Go find Jesus. And when you find Him, and you will, come back here and tell each other about it. Blessed be the Lord. Amen.